to Isaiah, book of Isaiah. Chapter. Let's see. What chapter in Isaiah did I want now? 9. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the gift of your Son, so thankful that you sent us someone to take our place in punishment for our sins, someone who did not deserve to die, but loved us so much that he was willing to do so. We will be eternally grateful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture that was read earlier, and let's go there, Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Now, in spite of what you might have heard from Muhammad Ali, he is not the greatest. Now, there are many people in many professions who are the greatest that ever were in those professions. But the true greatest is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the greatest. Greater than Jonah. Well, yeah, Jonah was a great man in spite of himself. And he had to go through a terrible ordeal to do what he was told. But Jesus came willingly and gave freely and poured out his life for you and for me. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly and sinners, of whom I am chief. I apply the scriptures to myself. If the scriptures talk about hypocrite, that's me. If the scriptures talks about different other things, well, name the commandments. How many of them have I broken? Simply by thinking the wrong way. Now, you know that's true. Jesus said, if you think in your heart something evil, well, you've pretty much done that evil. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have a more abundant life. He's the greatest. Greater than Solomon. The Queen of the South came, and she marveled at how wise Solomon was. But Solomon did not have what Jesus has. Solomon was a type and a shadow from the tribe of Judah and an ancestor of Jesus in the flesh. And Jesus knew his origins. Jesus knew from whence he came. Some of us know our ancestry. We can go back a few hundred years and That's good. But Jesus said to them one day before Abraham was, I am. Go to John chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Oh, he's great. He's wonderful. He's great. There's nobody like him. Verse 12. The woman at the well says, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Is he greater than Jacob? You bet your life he is. He was greater, he is greater, he shall be greater. He is the greatest. Amen. Greater than Jacob. Go to John chapter 8. Let's talk about Jesus. That's the man we're all talking about today. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason for every season. Chapter 8, verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that wonderful? He is. He was. He is. And he is to come. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. Oh, if you were a crowd at the football game and I was the cheerleader, I could get you shouting on that one. He's the greatest. I love him today, don't you? He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham. You know that the name Jesus appears in the New Testament 700 times. And the word Christ, which means the anointed one, over 300 times. We're preaching the gospel of Christ here. The words combine Jesus Christ over 100 times. He is Christ the Lord, according to Luke 22, chapter 11. That's the Christmas one that is born to you in this day. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How do you combine Advent with Easter? You combine it into Jesus Christ. He is the reason for all of our celebration here today. We're going to commemorate His body broken for us and His blood shed for us because He first came and because we have a name on our church. It is Adventist. And this is the seventh day. Isn't this the church to be in this morning? The Seventh Day Adventist Church. We believe in the first advent, and we're believing that he's going to be coming soon. Sooner than the world may expect, because the signs of the times are saying he's coming, and he's coming without delay. And we must be living as if he's coming the next half hour or so, or maybe another 100 years, we must just continue to believe that he's coming and his coming is imminent and live like it. Now, I might have spanked some folks the last time I preached, but the purpose of it all is to get us all ready for the coming of the Lord. For He's the greatest. He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than George W. Bush or Barack Obama. He's the greatest. Now, there's an imposter in the world today, and he's claiming all the claims of Jesus, but we know the real Christ. If you know the real Christ, you will not worry about the Antichrist. That is the truth. If you know the truth, the counterfeits, you will notice them right away. The way that you understand what a counterfeit bill is to know what the real one looks like. The way that you know an untruth is to know what the truth is. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, sometimes the truth is ugly. It's as ugly as sin. But if you do something about it, He came to wash away our sins, to reconcile us unto God through His atoning sacrifice on the cross. And without the resurrection, the whole thing is futile. We are so glad that He rose from the dead because that gives us hope, a hope beyond this life. We are insured beyond the grave. We have taken out an insurance policy when we become part of the family of God, when we become baptized into His body and into His spirit, we become one and we become members, kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hope that we have? Aren't you glad that you're a Christian today? And if you're not, oh, won't you become one? This is the hope. This is the mission of this church. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, resurrected. He's been given names, wonderful names. One of the names in Genesis, way back in Genesis 49 and verse 10, if you want to look it up, there it is. They call Him Shiloh. Shiloh. You know what Shiloh means? Very close. He is one who pacifies. He is peace personified. Peace. Christ the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But He did not bring peace to the world. He said, I did not come to bring peace to the world. He came to shake the world up. The only peace that comes from Christ is when you have that assurance in your heart that you're heaven ready. The only people that have true peace in this life are ones that have the Spirit of God dwelling in their hearts. You are His temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that He dwells in you unless you're a reprobate? Isn't that what the Bible says? This is Bible-believing country right here. We believe this. When the Bible says that He is, then we believe that He is. And the claims of Christ, which are fantastic. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. They're exclusive. When you preach an exclusive way of salvation, you become very unpopular with the world. Buddha will not get you into heaven. Muhammad offers no solutions whatsoever. Absolutely not. But Jesus is the hope and the light of the world. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're a happy camper on this earth. And we're just campers. We're just passing through. We're just tenting our way along. We're following the stairway to heaven. And we're climbing step by step. Aren't you a happy people this day? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Oh, let's go to Isaiah. You know, once upon a time, back in the Old Testament, God was known as God for us. Incarnate in Christ, He is God with us, Emmanuel. But by the Holy Spirit, He is God in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I'm getting a tingly feeling on the inside. I got to calm myself down. I get happy sometimes thinking about it. But he has a fivefold name. In Isaiah 9 and 6, his fivefold name is, it's a name. Although there are seven of them here, it's one name. And they all add, if you add them all up, the total at the bottom is Jesus. Wonderful. Now the translation of the word wonderful, in some translations it's secret. The same word is translated secret. But as the song says, it is no secret what God can do. He's wonderful. Wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor. Proverbs 8 and 14 says, counsel is mine, saith the Lord. His counsel is sure. If God gives you counsel, gives you comfort, gives you instruction, you can trust it. Here's another one of that fivefold name. The mighty God. I can trust him. He is mighty. He is almighty God. He is the everlasting Father, or Father of eternity. He is our Father. He is our heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven. And he is the Prince of Peace. I invite you to have peace in your heart today. I invite you to Christ. I invite you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Even around this communion table, in this Advent season, we can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what it's all about. This is what people call Christmas. This is what people call Easter. But it's really the life of Christ and him crucified and living in resurrected life within you. He's been called the branch. And we have been grafted in. If we are not Jewish, we have been grafted in to the real Israel. There's the natural Israel, and then there's the real Israel. And some of the natural Israel are in the real Israel. But it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the living Israel today, the real Israel. And unless you're into Christ, unless you're in Christ, unless he's living and dwelling in you, then he has no part of you. But he wants to. He is also called in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 to 47, he's called the last Adam. There was a first Adam, of which we have all taken part. And there's the last Adam, who wants us to take part of that too. Because the last Adam gives us one last opportunity to get right with God. For outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And I say that on the authority of the Word of God. There is no hope for you or me or anyone else in this world outside of Jesus Christ, because he is the greatest. He is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Logos. The logic. The design. The pattern by which all things exist is through Jesus Christ. And he is the living Word. And when you read this, it comes alive in your heart. It comes alive in your mind. It breathes life into you. It heals you. It lifts you up. It may give you a spanking now and again, but it's still for the same purpose. For God loves those whom he chastens. And if God doesn't chasten you once in a while, then you must doubt his love. And if sometimes I chasten you over the pulpit, it's because I love you. And if it hurts you, it must have struck home. So, in all, we have 365 names and titles for Jesus Christ in the Bible, one for each day of the year. Pick one. For whatever your need is, he is that. He is that. Jesus will come to you in the form of your need, as the answer to your prayers, as the hope, as the inspiration for your life. He is the purpose of you being. And He gives you purpose in your life. He gives you a mission. Every one of us has been commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself to go and to make disciples of everyone that we can possibly get in contact with. The world is the mission field. The fields are ripe, but the laborers are few. But we're working for the greatest. He's the greatest. He is everything. I am nothing. At best, I am an unprofitable servant. But I love Him. I'm not going to give up. And any of you that are having struggles today with sickness, with family, with tormenting things that just sometimes seem overwhelming, we want our sons and our daughters and our children and our parents to be saved, to find Jesus, to be happy, to be blessed. We wish this for you. We wish you the best. And we want you to know Him as we know Him. And I want you to know Him as I know Him. My Lord, as Thomas said, and my God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, right now I'm praying for those that are struggling, those that have doubts, those that really don't know You as You would like them for to know You. And You want to be known. You have been pleading with us for years. You've been calling us by Your Spirit, by the example of a godly mother or a friend who has come to You and said, "Would you like to know a hope beyond this life? I have a Savior I want to introduce you to." Oh Lord, we've been pleading with people for years. We've been asking them, "What are You going to do about your soul? Will you make it right with God before it's too late?" And this is probably for some the last time they'll hear that message before they go into eternity. We do not know. So Lord, we thank You for dying for us on the cross. And in a few minutes we will be partaking of the emblems of the remembrance service that You instituted that long time ago, when You were just about to be crucified for our sins, and You gave your broken body and Your blood in symbolic form, and You said, "Do this, drink this, eat this in remembrance of Me." Oh Lord, we remember the Advent when You first came, when You were just sort of slipped into the world and put in a humble place and given a humble beginning, and yet all of heaven was watching and only a few on earth saw You come. Lord, we want to remember that today as we enter the Advent season. Let us remember that You came to reconcile us unto God through Your atoning sacrifice. And we pray for those that are on the verge of decision that they will come to You this very day. In Jesus' name, amen.